Well, let's continue to worship, shall we, by turning in our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. If you need a copy of God's Word, just get the attention of one of the ushers. They'll be happy to get one to you. Ezekiel 37 is found right about the middle of your Bible, maybe a little bit past. If you're like me, sometimes you have to go through the prophets in the order of the books, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. If you get to Daniel, you've gone just a little bit too far. And so Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 14 together, and you're going to want a copy of God's Word, as with every Sunday here at Coram Deo. So thankful for those songs that we sang. Can't think of a better song, a better offertory that we just listened to coincide with the text that we're going to be looking at and the things that the Lord is saying to us from this particular text. I've prayed and I trust that your heart is already soft. If you've walked in here heart of heart, that the Lord has already broken through. And if you've walked in here soft of heart, that the Lord is already ministering to you. And that indeed, if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that this will be the day of your salvation. That Easter Sunday 2024 will be the day on which your entire eternity turns. I have prayed that way. We've prayed that way. It can happen. It's true. It's true. Amen. Ezekiel 37, I want to talk, if I can just get right at it this morning. Somebody said to me the other day, I really like it when you're funny. Well, I'm not very funny. Mostly my family laughs at me. I'm well aware that you laugh at me as well, and that's totally okay because that's about as funny as I get. But if we can dispense with all of that, I want to talk about the state of your soul this morning. Did you hear me? I want to talk about the state of your soul. And I'm dead serious about that, pun intended, because God is dead serious about it. I want to talk about the state of your soul as in whether it's dead or alive, which unfortunately makes me think of zombie movies, and I hate zombie movies. You know the ones depicting dead people who are kind of alive, no judgment. If you like them for the entertainment value or whatever, I'll pray for you, but no judgment. But I hate the things. I hate them because they depict dead people who are kind of alive, but they're really dead. Not great. Especially so because the analogy to our lives is spot on. Spot on. You're either a walking zombie here this morning, or you're a living light. You're either dead in your trespasses and sins, or you are alive at you as you can possibly be in the righteousness of Christ. One or the other. One or the other is true. There are two kinds of people in God's eyes, and those are the ones. Those are the categories. Those who are dead in their trespasses and sins are those who are alive in the righteousness of Christ. And though Ezekiel doesn't use those exact terms, that's exactly what he's talking about in this chapter. Exactly. You're either dead or alive. Spiritually. The most important aspect and facet of your life, spiritually, you're either dead or alive. Ezekiel, you need to know, was a prophet in Israel around 600 BC. A little map here you can see, Mediterranean Sea on the left side there, Jerusalem circled. Land of Israel. Over to the right there, you have Babylon representing the Babylonian Empire. Ezekiel was alive around 600 BC when Israel was overthrown by the Babylonians in that day, and many in Israel were carried off into captivity back to Babylon, including Ezekiel, where he spent the majority of his adult life, well over 25 years, urging people to repent. He had one message all the time that he lived in Babylon, preaching to the people at the time who would listen, one message: turn and return to the Lord. People came to hear him week in and week out. They left week in and week out. And they said as they got in their cars or their carts or whatever it is, he just keeps preaching the same message over and over again. Right. Because they weren't getting it. Whether you walk in here every single week or whether this is your time to come to church on Easter or Christmas or something like that, oh, I pray to God that you do not and will not walk out of here and be like, he just keeps saying the same thing over and over again. If you do, you didn't get it, but you'd be right. You'd be right. What else can I do in the company of those who are dead? What else can you do as a living light in the company of those who are dead? What else is there to do? What is more important? I'm certainly not going to stand up here and do a song and dance and somehow try to entertain you. I want your souls to live. He had one message. It's like he says in Ezekiel 18, repent and turn from all your transgressions, your sin, lest iniquity, another word for sin, be your ruin. And that was stating it lightly, ruin. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. Live. But it became very apparent that the Israelites couldn't do it themselves. Couldn't resurrect themselves. Couldn't save themselves. So God in his great mercy, God in his amazing grace, said that he would. Using statements like, I will rescue you. I will bring you back. I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, Ezekiel 36. And a new spirit I will put within you. You can't do it. You can't do it. Loved one, you can't do it. Only God can. Will you let him? I will give you a new heart, God said, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules, my commandments. Repent and I'll change you from the inside out, God says. From the inside out, turn from your ways to my ways and get life. Turn to me, he says, and live. And then he gives Ezekiel a vision here in chapter 37 to make sure that we get it. A vision that really would qualify as the original zombie movie, better than all. You follow along. I'll take it a few verses at a time. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel says, as in God's influence, his heavy, weighty, personal influence. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, indicating a vision, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. I both love and hate the abruptness of that phrase at the end of verse 1. He set me down in the middle of the valley. He doesn't talk about the surroundings. He doesn't talk about the weather. He doesn't talk about a myriad of issues that are peripheral and peripheral to the peripheral. He gets right to the core and he says, it was full of dead bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry, very dead. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, oh Lord God, you know. What a perfect answer in the presence of God, where you don't have a clue. And if you do have a clue, you don't want to say, because like, you just speak, Lord. You know I don't. You take it. It's a picture of contrast, is it not, in these three verses? Ezekiel was living the bones weren't. A commentary on those in his day and every day, every age, our day included. Some people are fully alive and others are completely dead. Some people think they're alive and they're completely blind, seeing themselves as just fine when they're anything but. It's a picture of contrasts. The question is, do you see yourself rightly in the midst of the contrast? I have four questions here for you this morning that I trust the Lord will use so that you make an honest assessment and evaluation of your heart and soul. And this is the first one. Do you see yourself rightly, right now, as I speak? Do you see yourself accurately? Do you see yourself honestly? And if so, which is it? Are you dead like the bones or alive like Ezekiel? Dead in your sin or alive in Christ? Or maybe a bit more graphic, are you among the walking dead this morning? Because a lot of people are, just like then. There were very many bones on the surface of the valley, separated from God, they were dead. And so are we. So are you if you're separated from God. Apart from God, we're just a bunch of bones. Apart from God, we have no life. We're spiritually dead, like it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, speaking to those who are now alive, those who are alive in Christ. Those who have repented and turned to him as their Savior and Lord, he says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, in which you once conducted your life. Dead. Dead. You see, before we come to faith in Christ, before we come to believe in Jesus and what he did on the cross, before we are forgiven of our sin and saved from its consequences, we're dead. We're spiritually dead. A pile of bones facing eternal punishment in the throes of hell. Is that you this morning? Like, do you see yourself rightly? I'm not talking about how you feel. I'm not talking about what you think. I'm talking about what's true. What's true? That apart from God, apart from faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're dead. You might be the best looking person this side of the Mississippi on Easter morning, but if you haven't been given a new heart and a new spirit, you're a zombie. You're a zombie, and no amount of courtesy or politeness or ability or self-sufficiency or denial or stoicism or anything else that we manufacture can cover it up. Nothing else can cover it up. Are you part of the bones or are you looking at them this morning? Your answer makes all the difference in the world, and your refusal to even consider the question simply seals your fate. Your denial spells doom. If that's what you're thinking right now as you're sitting there, like your denial spells doom. Better to see yourself rightly and admit it. Better to humble yourself, better to surrender yourself and admit it, because that's where true living starts. It starts with seeing yourself rightly and admitting it. Then he said to me, verse 4, the Lord did, prophesy over these bones, as in preach to them, speak to them. Oh God, help me. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Note that phrase. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know that I am the supreme being of the universe. You shall know beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you repent, if you hear the word of the Lord, if you receive the truth of it, if you see yourself rightly, you shall know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has done it. That God has done a work in you that you cannot do and could not do. The question is, have you heard it? Have you heard the word of the Lord? Not heard about it, but actually heard it for yourself. For yourself. And if not, if previous to these last few minutes you haven't heard it, like, are you hearing it now? As I speak, as I read the actual word of the Lord? Or are you sitting there with your proverbial fingers in your ears saying, la, 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 with your eyes closed because thinking like a little kid, if you do that, you just won't hear it. You won't have to think about it. You won't have to consider it. And I hope not. If the Lord is convicting you right now, surrender. Relent. Open your heart. Because the Bible says that faith comes to hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes to hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That is through the good news of Jesus, the one who rose again. No hearing, no faith. No hearing, no life. None, none. I don't care how you're living these days. I don't care how many white picket fences you have or anything else. No hearing, no life. Have you heard that? Have you heard about God's promise of new life? Like he says there in verse 5, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. That's new life. That's life anew. It's a precursor, in fact, a foreshadowing of what the Bible calls the gospel. Gospel is just a word that means good news, and used in the biblical sense, it means the good news of Jesus. Verse 5 here, in fact, this whole passage is a foreshadowing of the good news of Jesus. That Jesus, God in the flesh, died for our sins so we wouldn't have to, that we wouldn't have to suffer an eternity for our sins in the throes of hell, and then rose again so that we too could rise again, spiritually now, physically later. That's the gospel. Died so that we wouldn't have to suffer an eternity of death and hell, and rose again so that we too might live forever. Have you heard that? Like personally? Here? Have you allowed yourself to hear it? Have you heard that God is in the business of making all things new? He is, and he's going to bring it to completion someday. Have you heard that he loves you so much he will never leave you or forsake you if indeed you allowed him into your heart and soul and life? Never leave you or forsake you. There's not a promise that, man, your life is going to be bliss if you do so. But there is a promise that he will be with you through all of it. Have you heard that? Have you heard that he loves you so much that he'll always be faithful to you even when you're not faithful to him? Have you heard that and taken it to heart? Have you heard the word of the Lord? I hope so. I hope you're hearing it now, because if you haven't and if you're not, you're just a pile of bones. No hearing, no faith. No hearing, no belief. No hearing, no life. So for God's sake and yours, both, for God's sake and yours, open your heart, open your ears, and actually hear the word of the Lord. Verse 7, prophesy, God said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Good move. always a good thing to do what God commands. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, or as some people say, a rattling. I love it either way. Behold, there was a sound in the vision, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, just like God promised. But behold, there was no breath in them, no spirit in them, no life. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God. Here's the word of the Lord again. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. Remember that word, winds. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain. Again, this is in a vision, and he's speaking metaphorically, okay? Breath, life. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Oh God, will you do it? Will you do it right now? Will you do it right now? Will you awaken faith in people right now, Lord? So I prophesied as he commanded me, verse 10. And the breath came into them, and they lived. That's God calling. Couldn't help myself. Hear the word of the Lord. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. It's a prophecy you need to know that wasn't fulfilled for 600 years. You think you wait a long time. 600 years until this prophecy began to be fulfilled, when the Holy Spirit fell on the believers at Pentecost, just 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, 50 days after that first Easter, Resurrection Sunday. It says in Acts chapter 2, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the breath came into them, the breath of life, as Ezekiel said, and they lived. Resulting, of course, in an exceedingly great army that continues to grow to this day, from then up till now, and it will until the Lord returns, just like Ezekiel saw in verse 10, an exceedingly great army for the Lord, not to fight with guns and bombs, but faith and prayer and love and truth. Spiritual weapons for a spiritual army to accomplish spiritual things that are far more important than anything of this earth. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, the Bible says, but against the cosmic powers of darkness and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. An exceedingly great army for the things that God most wants to accomplish and we most need. It's a prophecy that continues, but none of it happens apart from the life God gives. And that's the third question. Has God given you life? Do you see yourself rightly? Have you heard the word of the Lord? And third, has God given you life? Life, has he? Has he? Life to the full and life forever? The kind of life that he promises in the scriptures? Like, have you received that eternal life? Has your soul been rattled? Have you heard the word and the sound? Been listening to that song all week. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, I pray to God that I'm hearing it now. you heard the word and the sound? You have, if God's Spirit dwells in you. Look at verse 14. Skip down there just for a second. You've heard the word and the sound, if God's Spirit dwells in you. Verse 14, I will put my Spirit within you, God says, and you shall live. Live, bone to bone, sinew, and all the rest, and the breath of God, the life of God within you, because that's what the Spirit does. He gives life. No Spirit, listen, no Spirit, no life. No Spirit, no life. And you get the Spirit. You might be like, okay, Pastor, well, how do I get the Spirit? I want life. I so desperately want life. How do I get the Spirit? Well, you get the Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit when you believe in Jesus. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus said in John chapter 7. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his soul will flow abundant blessings of life and godliness. And then John adds this commentary. Now this he said, this Jesus said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him, believed in Jesus, were to receive. We're to receive 50 days after Jesus rose again at Pentecost. And every moment thereafter, when you and I and anybody else bends their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, repents of their sin, and receives the Holy Spirit into their life. Every moment after, if you believe, you receive. Every person. You know you've been given life if the Spirit dwells in you. And you know the Spirit dwells in you if you believe in Jesus. No belief, no Spirit. No Spirit, no life. You have to believe. You have to believe. You have to put your faith in Jesus. You have to believe that his death and resurrection was for you. You have to trust that it's sufficient to save you from the consequences of your sin. You have to trust. You have to believe. You have to have faith that his death on your behalf for your sins and his resurrection for your life, you have to trust. You have to believe that it is sufficient for the forgiveness of your sins and your eternal life to save you for all eternity. You have to believe. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son, Jesus, has eternal life. Has it right now. Whoever does not obey the Son, that is, whoever does not obey his command to repent and believe, whoever does not obey his command to confess him or name him as Lord of your life, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. The wrath of God to suffer as dry bones forever and ever. Has God given you life? He has if you believe in Jesus. He has if he's your Lord and Savior. If that's you, you of all people ought to rejoice on Resurrection Sunday. Glory to God in the highest. Rejoice. But if he's not, if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, loved one, you're dead. For the wages of sin is death. You're dead and you're facing even more death. You have to believe. No belief, no life. And last, no belief, no assurance. No assurance. Verse 11, then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Remember, they were in exile. They were in captivity. They were a world away from their home. Having been cut off from the land that had been promised them, they were like, hope is lost. Game over. Therefore, verse 12, prophesy, God says to Ezekiel, and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. that was partially fulfilled when they returned from Babylon. And he's obviously speaking metaphorically, spiritually here, because they were people in the flesh that were saying, all hope is lost. We're cut off. He's speaking spiritually. And it was partially fulfilled when they returned from Babylon, rebuilt the temple, and once again began to experience the blessings of God in life. It's like he brought them back from the dead. And you shall know that I am the Lord, verse 13, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Like so many prophecies of the Old Testament, there's a near-term fulfillment, partially so, and there's a long-term fulfillment. And the prophets were looking at these prophecies as they received them from the Holy Spirit, like you and I look at the mountain ranges of Colorado as we're driving across the western part of Nebraska. All that we see is one mountain range. It looks like just one mountain range. But as we get closer and closer and closer, we see that there's a front range, then there's a middle range, and then there's a following range, and who knows how many more after that. Same for so many of the prophecies, and certainly this one. There was a partial fulfillment in the near term, but there was a long-term fulfillment in our time, the time of Christ and thereafter, where God, having opened our graves and raised us from our graves, puts his spirit within us so that we live. What they experience partially, we experience massively. Massively. As God raises us from our spiritual deadness and indwells us with his spirit. And someday, we're going to experience it literally. Not partially, not massively in a spiritual sense, but someday we're going to experience it literally. Those who believe literally in the physical sense. When Jesus returns to raise us from the dead and receive us unto himself to live forever and ever. That's what the New Testament teaches. 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. No longer a prophet, no longer a pastor as his intermediary. He's going to speak to the world just himself, straight on. And the dead in Christ, that is those who are his, the dead in Christ, those who are his, those who died in faith, will rise first. Literally. Given new glorified bodies just like that of Jesus right now. It's just like God said through Ezekiel, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. That part's yet to come. There was a near-term fulfillment. There was a long-term fulfillment. There's a yet-to-come fulfillment. Verse 17, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We who are alive in Christ, just like those who are dead in Christ, we who believe will be caught up together with them in the air to be with the Lord, and so we will always be with the Lord. That's the rest of the story. That's the assurance. The question is that you? Is your future secure? Is your future secure? Are you certain about what's in store for you? Bear with me, and I'm going to finish in like 60 seconds. Are you certain about what is in store for you? Do you know whose you are and where you're going? Do you? Once again, if so, rejoice and keep on. Keep the faith. Hold fast. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Here and now, where two or three are gathered in his name, the Lord is at hand. And the Lord coming is at hand. Rejoice and keep on. But if that's not you, if you're not secure, if you don't know where you stand with Jesus, if you're not sure that you're standing at all part of the exceedingly great spiritual army, like wait no longer. See yourself rightly. Hear the word of the Lord and live. Live. Let's pray. As we bow our heads, if I've been talking to you, and if you want to be saved and certain, you well know that the Lord has been speaking to you. You might think it was just me, but you well know that the Lord has been doing a work in your heart and soul, a work of conviction and a work of convincing. And if you want to be saved and certain, if you want the life that God offers and the spirit that God gives, you pray with me right now, just right where you sit, quietness of your own heart. Pray with me right now, will you? And start by admitting your sin and seeing yourself rightly. God, I admit it. I'm sinful and dead in my sin. You tell him. God, I admit it. I'm sinful and dead in my trespasses and sins. Dead in my sinfulness. A bag of bones. But oh God, I believe. I believe that Jesus is your son and my savior. You tell him. I believe that he died for my sins and rose again for my life. I believe. So God, I'm sorry for my sin. And I'm done with it. You tell him, I'm sorry for my sin, God, and I'm done with it. Please forgive me and help me to live your way from now on. I repent. I can't do it on my own, Lord. I can't live for you on my own. I need you. So I'm done with my way of life. I want yours. I repent. And I receive your spirit now. With the life he gives to live for you all my days. I admit, I believe, I repent, and I receive.